We have the honor of praising the Lord, so we ought to do so even as we go to His Word and Obadiah, Prophet Obadiah. You probably don't hear about too often, sadly. There's some people who, in today's world, scholars who don't think this should be part of God's Word because it really doesn't. It's not really about Israel or God's people so much, but we'll find that it is. And yet they use the argument because it's focused on the nation of Edom, then therefore it shouldn't be in the Bible. But that would be false. And so we're going to read Obadiah. It's only one chapter, and so we'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 21 of his words. Obadiah, starting in verse 1. These are the words of God. The vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord, and an envoy has been sent among the nations, saying, Arise, and let us go against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You are greatly despised. The arrogance of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock, in the loftiness of your dwelling place, who say in your heart, Who will bring me down to earth? Though you build high like the eagle, though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If thieves came to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be ruined. Would they not steal only until they had enough? If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave some gleanings? Oh, how Esau will be ransacked, and his hidden treasures searched out. All the men allied with you will send you forth to the border, and the men at peace with you will deceive you and overpower you. They who eat your bread will set an ambush for you. There is no understanding in him. Will I not on that day, declares the Lord, destroy wise men from Edom, and understanding from the mountain of Esau? Then your mighty men will be dismayed, O Teman, so that every one may be cut off from the mountain of Esau by slaughter. Because of violence to your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame, and you will be cut off forever. On a day that you stood aloof, on a day that strangers carried off his wealth, and foreigners entered his gate, and cast lots for Jerusalem, you too were as one of them. Do not gloat over your brother's day, the day of his misfortune, and do not rejoice over the sons of Judah in the day of their destruction. Yes, do not boast in the day of their distress. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their disaster. Yes, you do not gloat over their calamity in the day of their disaster, and do not loot their wealth in the day of their disaster. Do not stand at the fork of the road to cut down their fugitives, and do not imprison their survivors in the day of their distress. For the day of the Lord draws near on all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your dealings will return on your own head, because just as you drank on my holy mountain, all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and swallow and become as if they had never existed. But on Mount Zion, there will be those who escape, and it will be holy. And the house of Jacob will possess their possessions. Then the house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. But the house of Esau will be as a stubble. And they will set them on fire and consume them, so that there will be no survivor of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. Then those of the Negev will possess the mountain of Esau, and those of the Shephelah, the Philistine plain, also possess the territory of Ephraim, and the territory of Samaria, and Benjamin will possess Gilead. And the exiles of this host of the sons of Israel who are among the Canaanites as far as Zarephath, and the exiles of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad, will possess the cities of the Negev. The deliverers will ascend Mount Zion to judge the mountain of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. And that is God's word. But here is a vision that the prophet Obadiah received from the Lord concerning Edom, very near to Israel. Remember, an enemy of Jacob that his brother became Esau, and Esau turned into, became the nation of Edom, and Jacob became the nation of Israel, and he's called Israel, if you remember. And what we find here are threatenings of the Lord against Edom, and so that they would be humbled, and their wealth would be plundered, and as well as that, their wise men, those who are mighty among them, their wisdom would be destroyed. And verses 8 and 9. But here's the big thing. We ask the question, why? Why Edom? Why this foreign nation, or the one who is always hostile to Israel, as it's talked about in other places in Scripture? Why does this happen to them? And so in verses 10 through 16, we see it's because they have continuously shown violence toward Israel, towards God's people. And that's instructive for us today. Those who bring violence or persecute or cause suffering to the people of God, what you do to my people, the Lord would say, you do unto me. And so that's what he's showing here. When you attack the Lord's people, Yahweh will come against you in vengeance. And he'll do so with those who come against us today. He will come in vengeance at the right time. And then in verse 17, Yahweh promises to Israel that they have been, having been attacked, shall be restored. They'll be reformed. They will have victory over Edom. God will bring that victory. And the book concludes, verse 21, with the promise that Christ's kingdom will be established. And there will be brought in a great salvation. Beloved, as a church, we are part of that kingdom and have been granted a wonderful salvation in Christ and under Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful as we remember the prophets and what you speak in the prophets of your great mercy and grace to Israel, your people, the church, even now. That you will restore us, you'll reform us, you'll make us to be holy. And we're thankful for the promises of your Son. We're thankful that he is king of a kingdom now. And we are part, as the church, part of that kingdom on earth. And Father, we pray that those who come against us, you would bring about vengeance to them. Just as the psalmist often prays in view of his enemies, his adversaries, those who continually attack them, that you would bring justice. We think of the imprecatory prayers, the psalms. Father, bring about justice at the right time, and yet we pray that even them, of them you would save many, as you promised to do. Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters, especially in Texas and that area, who are undergoing flooding, and your great power and providence through flooding. And even this afternoon, we had some of us had talked about how much rain they were getting, and yet it says now that that estimate is doubled to around 50 inches of rain. And we probably could not understand that, having 50 inches of rain in a matter of a few days. And Father, we know where we live, that there are hills, and yet there it's fairly flat, and so nowhere for the water to run off, at least easily. And so we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ and in Texas and those areas, that you would protect them, protect their homes, and yet do what you must do in your great providence to bring a sense of utter inability to save oneself, and a complete dependence upon something, someone, that's needed. That man cannot save themselves, even from your flooding. But you can save them. You can save their souls. So we pray that you would bring that about in their lives. Many there have heard the gospel before, and yet have not believed. They've turned and they've spurned you and rebelled against you. Father, use this as an opportunity to see their need of you, as an opportunity for Christians to serve the church and their community, calling sinners to repentance, and not just helping with physical things, but as part of their helping with the physical things, they point them, those people, to yourself. Father, we pray that you would be a God who spares your people of the destruction. Just as we would pray for ourselves, as you have for many years preserved us thus far. And Father, you always will preserve us unto eternity, that no physical things can harm us or bring destruction upon us, not our souls, not our lives. Not because we are in Christ. We're thankful for our union with Christ. Pray that you would help us in our worship. We are not perfect in our worship. We have turned from you various points individually as a church at various times. Just gone through the motions. Not worshiped you with our heart. And ignorance. Gone astray, not hearing you, not paying attention, but dwelling upon the things of this world or our sin, taking part in sin. Father, we're thankful that you have us, have given us a mediator who not only perfects our prayers, but perfects our worship, despite our frailty. Father, we're thankful that you are a gracious God. And you give us a foretaste of that kingdom that is to come, that we have a part of now in the church. We long for that final consummation, the second coming of Christ. And to be with you forever, to be glorified in Christ, and be saved from this perverse generation and this evil world. We hate our sin. We hate the pains in body and the struggles we go through. But Father, give us patience with your plan. And cause us to trust in you at every step. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.